Hello and welcome to the Positive Switch podcast. I want to use this platform to share positive experiences and inspire individuals to make the connection I made a few years ago. One change is all it took to trigger a major shift in my life, and I want to help you turn on the switch that will light up yours. Hello, beautiful souls, and welcome to this new episode of the Positive Switch podcast. Thank you for listening, and today I have a very special guest in the world of activism. He's coming from Germany, where I'm currently living, and he's a very special person in my life, and I've been doing activism with him for about, over a year since I've known him. And he's the organizer of the Düsseldorf chapter for Anonymous for the Voiceless. I am happy to present you Mark Kohammer. Mark, just introduce yourself. Tell us more about you.
I'm happy to be here. Actually, I'm quite nervous because this is my first podcast interview ever. So yeah, it feels kind of weird, but let's see how it turns out.
So give some background. Tell us a bit about your story first with veganism.
So my story, how I got to veganism. Mm-hmm. For me, it started back in, I think, the beginning of 2015, when I found out that a plant-based diet might be helpful to prevent some major diseases like heart disease and diabetes and stuff. So that was initially the reason why I started to look more into that topic. And the more I read about it and the more I watched movies and videos about it, the more I got interested in it. And then, I lived that way, or maybe I should say I ate that way for, I think, about a year. This plant-based diet, I ate couple of vegetarian meals in the restaurant, and at my grandma's house I used to eat like a piece of cake with eggs in it or dairy in it. But then in summer of 2016 I made the ethical connection to because I watched some videos from slaughterhouses and animal agriculture in general. So that's why I made the ethical connection, and vegan since, not only plant-based, but fully vegan since almost or over 3 years now.
Okay. And you spoke about how you found out that a plant-based diet was okay and, appropriate for any kind of person, any stages in life. And what kind of material was that? Was that a video that you saw, or some articles?
I watched a lot of fitness YouTube content back then, and there was one YouTuber who was vegan, or is vegan at the moment still. And he was like into lifting weights and doing bodybuilding and stuff, and I was looking for some advice because I started back then training in the gym, so I was looking for advice, and he looked quite muscular. And he always talked about how meat isn't healthy and dairy is far away from being healthy. And at first I was like, well, what is this guy talking about? Everyone else in the industry is telling you, you need to eat dairy and tons of yogurt and milk, and you have to eat your in quotations chicken and broccoli, and broccoli is fine, but chicken is not, at least to eat. So this was quite the opposite of what everybody else was talking about. So I figured I need to check it out for myself. And then I don't even know what kind of documentary I watched. I think maybe it was Forks Over Knives. Maybe it was later, I don't know. But there's so many videos on YouTube, I can't even remember what specific video, when there's tons of articles and videos and studies out there. So yeah, I just looked deeper in it.
What was this YouTuber's name?
It was Carl S.
Carl, okay.
Yeah.
And he's still vegan.
Yeah, he's vegan.
Into bodybuilding.
Yeah, not anymore. I think he's still working out, but I think he shifted his content more to business stuff. Yeah, but he's still vegan.
All right. And what moved you to become an activist? How did you find out about activism?
That was, I think, in the end of 2017. I stumbled across videos from Earthling Ed, and he was doing kind of street activism, talking with strangers on the street about veganism, about the topic, about animal rights. And the way he did it was really...
neutral?
Yeah. And I liked his content, and I thought... There's so much misinformation out there because the people he spoke to were so uninformed, and they had these crazy arguments like, oh, you need to have meat for protein and dairy for calcium and humane slaughter exists and la la la, all these.
Did you used to think like this?
Yeah, I actually thought, like I said, everyone else in the fitness industry was talking about protein, and you need to drink whey shakes after the workout, and you need to eat X amounts of protein. But I was never a believer in humane slaughter or something. I always found it quite horrible what happens to the animals. But I thought, you have to do it. There's no other way. Actually, a little anecdote on the side here. I remember... I don't know when it was. I was I think I was 19 or 20 years old. I was driving on the highway with a friend on the, in my car. And she was a vegetarian at the time. And we drove past a truck full of pigs. And she looked in it and, she was disgusted. She was horrified. She told me, oh, these poor animals in there. And I remember I said... Yeah, it's sad, but, we have to eat something, so that's all right. So I really thought there's no other way. Humanity has to eat something. So, we can't. I actually thought there's no way to sustain everyone with plants. I thought we wouldn't have enough space, or there wasn't enough food for everyone. So I actually thought that raising animals for food would be the better option. Crazy. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Coming back to the videos by Earthling Ed, I watched them, I enjoyed them, so I assume YouTube recognized that I liked them, and the YouTube algorithm recommended other videos from street activism, vegan street activism to me, and I stumbled across a video of a Cube of Truth demonstration. I think it was in Sydney or Brisbane or something, and I really liked it. I was like, wow, that's such a cool way to talk about veganism on the street. And I thought, wow, this always happens in New York or Sydney or Brisbane. Why isn't that happening in Germany? Yeah, and then I looked into the description of the video and the the text on the YouTube video. There's a name for it.
I know. Information box.
Not show notes.
Yeah, not show notes.
It's description.
They always say it at the end of the video.
I put it in the description. Check the... whatever.
Yeah.
I think everybody knows what we're talking about. And there was a link to Facebook site. The Facebook link for Anonymous for the Voiceless. Yeah, checked it out. And... description box. Long story short, I found out there's a chapter near my hometown, and I showed up the next weekend.
And how was it?
Creepy. In the beginning, I was really scared.
Because of the masks?
No, just in general. I mean, it was Saturday, noon when I drove there. And I was like, what are you doing here? This, you don't have to work, you don't have to do anything. It's Saturday, you could train, you could eat, you can do whatever you want. And you are sitting in a train on the way to, yeah, Düsseldorf, to the train station where the cube happened, or still happens. And I actually, I didn't know why I was doing it, but I felt like I had to. Because there was one speech that I also saw on YouTube by James Espy. And he mentioned the quote by Albert Einstein, who said, "Those who have the privilege to know have the duty to act." And this quote is still in my head. It comes to my mind like literally 10 times a week or something. Because it just, it's truth. If I don't speak up for the animals, then who else? I mean, there's a bunch of other activists, I know that. Still not quite enough, I think. But for myself, I was like, okay, you know about it, you know all the facts, you have spent so much time researching nutrition and stuff, so why not, yeah, talk about it? And yeah, I came there, was too early, because I hate being late on an appointment, so I was like half an hour too early. So there was more time for me to think about it and, yeah, going back and forth in my head. What am I doing? Shall I leave? Shall I not leave? And then someone showed up with a bag and I could see the mask in there. So I was like, okay, now here you go. Now it goes down. Yeah, rest is history.
And how did it go, first cube?
Yeah, I remember that the organizer back then asked me if I want to go in the cube right away. And I was like, yeah, I could do that, but I was prepared to talk to bystanders right away. So for me, it wasn't like, oh, I'm shy, I'm not sure. I was like, okay, I'm prepared. Today, I'm going to talk to bystanders, no matter what. So I was like, yeah, if you want me to go into the cube, I go into the cube. But if you want me to talk to bystanders, I can do that as well. But yeah, usually at these demonstrations for new people, it's common to go in the cube at first to, yeah, get a little bit used to the atmosphere, to the situation. Yeah, so I grabbed a mask and a laptop and I stood there in the cube and it took like 5 minutes or maybe 6-7 minutes and there was the first conversation right in front of me. And it was a lady and an activist spoke to her and literally a couple minutes into the conversation, first argument she had was, yeah, but we need to eat meat for protein. And I was like, this is incredible. These are exactly the same arguments that I heard in the videos that I watched on YouTube, which were from Australia. And this was strange for me because I thought, the German folks have the same arguments like those in Australia? How is that possible? And then I was like, okay, I need to get out of here. I need to talk to the people. I can't handle standing here and doing nothing. But it's not nothing. It's very important to be part of the cube. But yeah, I had to go out. I had to talk to the public. So I did.
So for those of you who are listening and who don't know what's Anonymous for the Voiceless, it's an Australian association organization for animal rights that was founded in 2016.
Right.
And yeah, they do what are called cubes of truth. And yeah, basically people come and stand in a square shape, cube shape formation and hold laptops or
screens.
Cube screens. Mm-hmm. Wearing masks, and the masks are there to remind the people that we're here for the animals who are displayed on the screens, having their throat slit and whatever other miserable practices. Yeah, and we're here to talk about them, raise this huge issue, injustice, that's still present in our society, unfortunately. Yep. And as soon as someone stands in front of the screens for about 20, 30 seconds, then the person standing in the cube raises her or his hand so that an outreacher comes to that person, to the bystander, And the outreacher is the person who is going to ask questions to that person so that we can lead that person, help that person to answer her or his own questions about those practices and what is being done to the animals in order to help them question
their own behavior.
Their own behavior. Yeah. So that's one form of activism mm-hmm. that you've been engaging in for a couple months of our year.
Yeah.
And have you found different types of activism? And if so, is there one that you found to be more effective for you, or one where you were more comfortable and you had the feeling that you were reaching mm-hmm. more people?
Yeah, this is actually funny because at the first cube, I was like, yeah, okay, I try, I see how it goes, and maybe I like it and I can join the cube maybe once a month or every now and then. Yeah, little did I know. Since then, I missed, I don't know, 1 week or max 2 weeks where I had no cube. So yeah, and right now, I think I have done, I don't know, over 150 whatever cubes, 2 or 3 cubes a week since, yeah, last year, February. So 1.5 years, approximately, maybe a little less. So yeah, it wasn't every now and then. It became every damn week or every damn Thursday and Saturday and so on. And yeah, once you are part of this activism group, you have so much, yeah, the energy is so different to other groups of human beings. And constantly, all these activists were talking about different actions they are taking, or different style of activism they are participating in, like going to slaughterhouses to, yeah, for doing vigils. Which is like, yeah, you go to a slaughterhouse and just bear witness to the animals in the trucks. Some people are trying to stop the trucks so that the other activists can get close to the animals on that truck to get footage and to make the connection to the animals, maybe to apologize for their misery. Yeah, this is one kind of activism I also joined a couple of times now, which is really powerful. And I think it took my activism to another level, because it's one thing to see these animals on the screen and talk about this injustice, but it's a whole different story if you are standing in front of the slaughterhouse where it smells like blood and feces and death, basically. And you have to look these animals in the eyes and recognize that these are all individuals. They are not all the same, or just pigs, or just whatever animal. They are all individuals with their individual mind. You can see that some pigs in that case are more terrified than others. Some already have given up. Maybe another one is trying to escape or screaming. So it's like, yeah, like humans. I mean, why would pigs be any different from any other kind of animal, humans included? They're all different. So yeah, this kind of activism really, I think I couldn't do it every week, because yeah, I think there's no need to do a vigil every week. I think it should take part every week, but not with the same activists. Because for me, I think, yeah, every, to remind myself, why I am doing this, and to connect with the real victims, it's helpful and it helps me to get my activism on the next level. But I think I couldn't handle it every week. Mm-hmm. Another kind of activism would be disruptions, which are organized by DXE. This is short for Direct Action Everywhere. And this is like a kind of activism which is more offensive, I would say. I mean, it doesn't have to be, but it mostly is. So you take, let's make an example. You walk into a restaurant where animal products are served, and you have signs with you where it says it's not
meat,
it's not food, it's violence, or something of that nature. And you walk into the restaurant, and you maybe you ask for 2 minutes of silence for the animals, or you just read out a poem or just some powerful words, so that everyone in that restaurant understands that it's not normal. They think it's normal to eat animal products, but we, in that case, it's our job to remind them that it's not normal and that it's not meat, that it's animal flesh, it's corpses, it's death, and it's not cheese,
it's
coagulated breast milk, or maybe you walk into a fashion shop where there is fur being sold, then you have to remind the people that it's not just some hairs on the jacket, but it's actually the actual fur and skin of an animal that was torn off of their body, maybe while they're still alive or something. Yeah, and the purpose of that, of these kind of demonstrations, is really to remind the people, or to disrupt this situation, this normality. Is that a word?
Normality. This is the reality.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Of our society.
Yeah. Yeah, and then there's so much more that you can do. What I really like doing, especially with friends in the summer, is like going outside with chalk. It might sound a little bit childish, but it's actually quite fun to just, draw something on the street, on the pavement with chalk. It could be something like, promoting a documentary about veganism or about animal rights or something. So you could write down, watch Dominion or watch Forks Over Knives, watch What the Health, check out la 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 activists, check out these activists, check out this website, or maybe you
are
a quote or a drawing of a pig or of a cow, and a sentence next to it which says, I don't know,
not your
it's
mom,
not your milk, it's
animals,
it's not food,
are not here to
something.
Eat, wear, entertain, experiment on. And why would you say activism is necessary? Why should every vegan on this planet get active?
Yeah, two quotes come to mind. First, I already mentioned those who have the privilege to know, have the duty to act. Second one is, the world isn't destroyed by those who do evil, but by those who watch them without doing anything or something of that nature. And this is, that says it all. There's so much. I mean, the animal agriculture industry is so destructive, not only to our planet, because it's like so wasteful, is the word?
Wasteful. Detrimental.
Yeah, in terms of resources like water and space and, especially fresh water and grains that are fed to the animals. It literally kills people. The health industry, or maybe a better term would be the sick care industry, takes up so much money for treating disease or managing diseases that didn't even have to exist in the first place. And obviously it's bad for the animals who are killed. There's no question about that. And if you know about all these facts, how bad it is for the environment, how bad it is for humans, for all kinds of things, then why would you not change it? If the meat industry or the dairy industry or the egg industry or the fur or the leather or the whatever industry, they won't come out with a campaign for animal rights. They won't stop hurting animals as long as people are paying for it. So we have to remind every person that we can change it by not paying for these products. Yeah, and we have so much most of the times people think that they can't change the world, that there's no, that we have to rely on politics or the government or whatever. This people feel so powerless, but in fact the opposite is true. We can, everyone has the power to change the world. You never know until you try, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, if we don't change it, who else is doing it? Mm-hmm. And yeah, if not now, then when?
Yeah, it's very inspiring and yeah, powerful that everybody has this power in their hands.
Yeah,
and
literally.
Just with our bills, like every day when we give our money to something, we're saying, yes, I agree to this. Please keep doing it.
Yeah.
It's great. And just with investing in our money in industries or products that align with our values, we have more power. We're saying much more than we are with a vote, because even when we vote for such or such politician, we don't know if they're actually going to hold their promises, whatever crap they might have said in their speech.
Yeah.
We don't know if it's going to become concrete. So the only way to know for sure that our actions actually matter is by choosing where we want to invest our money.
Yeah, another thing is, think about what you could do for other humans as well. This is a quite big part for me as well, because when I'm out there on the street and I help somebody to make the connection and maybe to, yeah, lead him or her to a vegan lifestyle and a plant-based diet, then maybe this person prevents a stroke or heart disease or diabetes and has more life and more time for his or her, for her family.
And activism.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's, yeah, animal liberation is not only about the animals.
No.
It has everything to do with us and our family and friends. If we care about them, if we care about our own health and well-being, if we care about the only home that we have,
yeah,
well, by definition, by nature, we have to be vegan.
Yeah.
And we have to become active.
Yeah.
Would you have any podcasts or activists, any kind of inspirational person that you always kind of look up to and that people could look up to as well to get more motivation to become an activist? Or
yeah, for activism, animal rights activism, I think James Espy is a fine man. He's a cool dude. And Joey Carbstrong as well. If you just look for the name in whatever search engine, you will find them easily. Yeah, of course, Gary Yourofsky, he's a legend. And also Philip Wolin has an incredibly great speech. Maybe some people coming from another angle, which I follow, which I kind of look up to. One is Nimai Delgado. He's a professional IFBB bodybuilder. He's like jacked, has never eaten meat in his life, and he's a great voice for the animals as well. And yeah, if you have any concerns that you're not able to gain muscle on a plant-based or vegan diet, then yeah, definitely check out his Instagram profile or his Facebook. I don't know where he's on Instagram, definitely.
And check out for the Game Changers.
Yeah, and gotta wait for the Game Changers. I think it
September?
September
16th.
Yeah.
And you can already book your tickets, I think, only in the USA, though.
Yeah.
If you guys never heard about this title, it's a movie whose executive producer is James Cameron, which is quite well known in the US. And it's going to be
Around the world, even.
Yeah. And it's going to be the first movie where vegan athletes are shown.
Yeah.
And I think it's gonna kick some ass and
will definitely
motivate some people. to become active.
Yeah.
And where can people find you on the internet?
Well, I think the easiest way would be to, on my Instagram profile, which is Mark, so MARC_604. I try to post as much as I can, which is like, I don't know, 4 times a week, maybe every day sometimes. Yeah, I try to post about animal rights, definitely more activism related stuff, but also I like to share some food porn here and there.
Workouts,
yeah.
Vegan gains.
Yeah, a little bit.
But you're not only on Instagram, are you? You're not only on Instagram.
Yeah, I have a Facebook page as well where you can always text me there. I will be happy to answer any question, but I don't post that much on Facebook. I use Facebook more like to share information, not to create my own stuff. But yeah, I'm on there as well. You can find me when you type in my name, Mark Korhammer, which is, I think, in the show notes will be written out.
Yeah.
And yeah, for those of you who are able to understand German, I have a German podcast as well, which is called Aktiv Vegan. It's on Spotify and Apple Podcasts and Breaker and Pocket Cast. I don't know if anybody listens on that platforms anyway, but it's on there. Yeah, and this podcast is dedicated to vegan activism mainly. Yeah, because I found there was no... I'm addicted to podcasts. And yeah, I figured I might create my own as well, where I can talk about whatever I like to. So yeah, I created this podcast to spread more information about animal rights, but especially about activism, why it's important to be active, how to be active, what I learned through activism, all that kind of stuff. Yeah.
All right. Well, I think it's gonna seal everything up. And thank you so much for giving me the chance to interview you.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you for inspiring, I hope, many, many vegans to get active if they're not already. Yeah,
if it's only one, then my job's done.
And of course, I will link all the info in the description box where you guys can find Mark and get more inspiration from his content on Instagram or on his podcast if you're German speaking. And I wish you guys a beautiful rest of your day. Don't hesitate to give me your feedback. And yeah, I will really appreciate that. Until then, wish you a nice rest of your day and thank you for listening. Bye.